Mechiras chametz. There is a widespread minhag Yisrael that people sell their chametz before Pesach in order to avoid the Isur Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, in order to avoid having to destroy all their chametz before Pesach. The source of the idea is found as early as in the Tosefta. The thing is, in the Tosefta, when it talks about Mechiras chametz, it's like for real. Like you're selling it and it's gone. Goodbye. You know, it's not talking about a case of Mechiras chametz where it's a wink wink, we understand you're supposed to buy it back. The Tosefta over there discusses that you can ask him to buy more than he needs before Yontif with the plan of hoping that he's going to sell it back to you after Yontif, right? So it does go that far. I mean, let's say you know the guy doesn't need your four open boxes of cereal over Yontif, especially since he's buying chametz that belongs to 10,000 other Jews also, and he can have their four open boxes of cereal. Nevertheless, you're allowed to have him buy more than he actually needs with the plan of getting it back after Yontif. La halacha, we pass in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Taf Mem Ches Sif Gimel and Dalet that yes, we are allowed to do mechiras chametz. You're allowed to sell more than the guy needs, and it's not considered a complete joke. Question is, why isn't it considered a complete joke? Because after all, even if the Jew has total das to sell, the guy realizes what's up. You know, he does this every year. So does he have the das of a kone, the appropriate das to be kone the chametz? So the Machsa Shekel actually goes so far as to say that it only works with Erech Mikra, that you can't do this as a consistent thing. Machsa Shekel and some Tafnam Chesiv Kut and Gimel, and the Ritva and Psachim Chaval from Aleph says that anybody who does this regularly, there's a Knas, that it shouldn't work. And it sounds like the Rishonim sound like they all hold that, the Rishonim sound like many of them hold the Vach Lo Yarin, they can't go and do a Harama. That if the whole thing is just a joke and a harama, then it shouldn't be done. So the question is harama really so bad? Meaning, sometimes you have a harama that gets you around violating an isser. So you avoided violating an isser. There's a chiluk, a famous chiluk that the Achronim have between a harama to get around doing a mitzvah versus a harama to get around violating an isser. Harama means a trick, right? So if you do a harama to get around violating an isser, sof, it wasn't an isser. So who cares how you got around violating the isser? If you do harama to get around doing a mitzvah, though, that could be a very bad thing. Because what? You have to do harama so that I'm not going to be chayiv in a mitzvah? So over here, you're not doing the harama to get around doing a mitzvah. You're going to do tashbisu. Tashbisu you can do. You're going to take 10 little pieces of bread that you bought prepackaged in this farm store for $5, and you're going to burn those pieces of bread. Right? So you're going to do tashbisu. So you're not getting around doing the mitzvah. You're just getting around violating an isser. Chasam Sofer, in Tshuvas and Archaim Sim Kufyu Gimel, thinks that it's completely permissible, and that's obviously what we rely on. Now, we're not going to discuss every issue of Mechiras Chametz. Let me just try to hit some hot button issues. How do we sell the Chametz? So first of all, selling the Kalim, the Kitz Shulchan Aruch says, don't sell your Kalim. Because if you sell the Kalim and then you buy them back after Yantif from the guy, you now need to do tefillas kelim and all of your kelim, because you just bought your kelim from a guy. So he says, don't sell the kelim. Generally, the lashon we have in the shtar mechira, I normally sell with Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Mordechai Willig gets a group of rabbanim together, typically 35, 40 rabbanim, that all sell chametz to John Brown. It's not a made-up name. His name is actually John Brown. Couldn't have had a better name than that. And John Brown is a real estate agent, so he's familiar with Kinyanim and with Mecca Chamemker. It's what he does for a living. And he also happens to be a fairly well-to-do guy. If he needed to, he owns enough real estate also, that if he needed to actually pay the full value of the chametz, although now with 35, 40 rabbanim selling and the amount of schnapps, maybe not, but at least it's possible that he'd be able to buy significant amounts of it. So that's one of the chumras that Rabbi Willick has of having a guy like that. But anyway, the Shulchan Aruch says, don't sell the kelim, and that's what we write in the Lashon of the Shtar, that we're selling the chametz that's balua in the kelim. That the blias, if the guy wants to taste the geshmak of blia that's in one of my pots, I give him permission to use my pot to be able to get that blia out into his food. If he does that, it might make my pot awesome because of bishalakum. Okay, whatever, it's a different issue. But we hope he doesn't do it then. But that's that's generally how we get around it. That's generally how we sell the blios. Does the guy have to pay for everything before Pesach? How does that work? So it seems from it seems that if you want to be kona something, you're going to have to pay for it. So there are several kulas that the achronim have that the guy doesn't have to pay for it. And what we generally do is that he gives a down payment, and the rest is due the day after Pesach. And if he can't pay the rest the day after Pesach, then he sells it back to us. That's the not the day after Pesach, right after Pesach. The rest is due the day after Pesach. Motzai Pesach, he could say, look, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to come up with the rest of the money. Are you willing to buy it back from me? And we buy it back from him. But he does give a down payment. Typically, he gives 1 cent for each household of chametz that he's buying. So he'll give 1 penny. So if I'm going to sell for 50 households, he'll do a kinyan kesef with 2 quarters or something like that. And you know, it comes with a roll of quarters, and he buys from thousands of households. The idea of doing a community-wide sale that everyone joins in was only started not that long ago. It was only started in the last 200 years or so. This was not something that was widely accepted. People typically used to always just throw out the chametz. And obviously, as in with any innovation, there were major poskim that were opposed to it. The Sholem Meshiv in Madura Basra Chele Pesim Nayin Zayin, Modim Ba'alacha, page Shin Beis, discusses this, where he has serious opposition to the idea of a community-wide sale. He thinks that it's all a harama. Chassam Sofer defends it. So obviously it came to the point where everyone you know, accepted it. Now what's the issue? That one of the issues is that you're not going to get a Shavu Pruta for each seller. So there's no kinyan kesef. The primary kinyan that you do is a kinyan kesef. If you're not going to get a shavu pruta for each person who's selling, it could be a problem. So one of the things that you have to do is make sure that you do get a shavu pruta for each person who's selling. You want to get around that. Or you could argue that maybe the din of shavu pruta is only true by kiddusha isha. Maybe it's not true for regular kinyan kesef. Typically we appoint a rabbi as the shliach to sell the chametz, meaning you have to realize this. When you go to the rabbi to sell your chametz, you are not selling your chametz to the rabbi. The rabbi is not buying your chametz. It's important that you should have the das to know what you're actually doing. The rabbi should say it to you, that he'll say, pick this up, and through that you're going to be making a kinyan to express your das that you want to make me your shliach. That's what he says. Not to express your das that you're making, that I'm being kona the chametz from you. No, to express your das that you want to make me your shliach to go ahead and to sell the chametz. So you appoint the rabbi as a shliach. The Rambam says you should do a kinyan sudar for the minoy shlichus, and that's what we do. We do a kinyan sudar. You pick something up as a way of, any time you do a kinyan sudar, it just adds more teeth to whatever it is that you're doing. It just gives it a little more koach. So we make a shlichus gemura. B'dieved, if you don't have a kinyan, it could still work. Sometimes it happens every year. I get at least one person. I couldn't make it before Pesach. Now I'm out of town already, and there's no rabbi here who's selling anymore. Can I be memani you with shliach over the phone? So we don't like to do that because you like to be able to do a kinyan in order to do the mino shlichus. But if it's impossible for whatever reason, so Rav Henkin Paskin that you should try to get something in writing, maybe fax it over, something like that. But the kinyan maybe is negotiable. This also, this idea of shlichus, also leads to the minhag. I never knew this growing up. I would sometimes go with my father when he would go to the rabbi to sell the chametz, and he would always give the rabbi an envelope afterwards. And I never really knew what was in the envelope. I thought it was like maybe a list of locations where the chametz is or whatever. There is a widespread minhag Yisrael where people give the rabbi some money at the time of mechiras chametz. So where does that come from? Meaning, you want to give the rabbi money, because then go give the rabbi money. What does that have to do with Mechiras Chametz? Why would you give the rabbi money at the time of Mechiras Chametz? So, Modim Zmanim Rav Shturmach writes, Modim Zmanim Chelik Dalet Simen Reish Ayin Hei, that when you give him money, you now make him a poel. Meaning, Chazak HaShliach Hosu Shlichuso is much stronger when he's a paid Shliach. And once he's a poel, so then you could rely much more heavily that he's actually doing the Shlichus. As opposed to if you just ask him to do it, but you're not giving him any money, so then it's not, he's not hired as a poel, and then you wouldn't have that same chazak shliach as a shlichus. So, how much money should you have to give then? $1. I don't know. Just make him a paid shliach. Now, in many places, so people want to show their akaras tov to the rabbi. Once they're giving him $1 anyway, they'll give him a little more money than that, or a lot more money than that sometimes. But in some rabbis, it's in their contracts. That's like in the Yungizul Woodmere, it's like a whole nother salary. You know, they have like $1,000 bottom. It's mamash a whole nother salary. So anyway, but that's the that's the minhag. The Shtechemer doesn't like it because the Shtechemer says that that's going to make it look like that we're only doing the Mechiras Chametz for our own benefit, that the Rabbanim are only doing it not for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, but for their own benefit. And he doesn't like that idea. He thinks it just doesn't smell right. But it does seem to be the minhag in many places that that's what people do. Is the mechira valid if you didn't give the rabbi money? It's absolutely valid if you didn't give the rabbi money. There are several kinyanim that we do in order to make the make sure that the mechira is valid. We do every possible kind of kinyan imaginable to make sure that there's absolutely no shaila whatsoever that the chametz is in fact sold. Ideally, the guy should have access to the chametz, and therefore he needs to know where you live. He needs to know where you have the chametz in the house. And he needs to know that if he needs access to the house, he can have access to the house. Does not mean you have to give the guy your key. Because if you're not home, you don't want some guy that you don't know. My balabatim never met John Brown. I met John Brown. I know he's a very nice, honest guy. They never met him. They don't want John Brown snooping around their house. But if John Brown calls him on Pesach, says, I want to go in the house, you have to be able to say, okay, I'll meet you there in 10 minutes, or I'll have the rabbi meet you there, and he'll escort you around the house to go pick up the chametz. That you have to be able to do. He has to be able to have access to the house. If you go somewhere far away and none of the neighbors have a key, or all the neighbors that have a key are also far away and no one has access to the house, it's very questionable how that really works. Got an interesting shaila. Someone just made aliyah last week, called me up, said, I'm selling my chametz to the guy. It's in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And it's going to be there throughout Pesach. It's on the lift. So he has no access to the chametz. I don't have access to the chametz. So is that okay? Think about it. Okay.